Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is The Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. No family is perfect. We've all experienced some sort of family drama. But when it comes to toxic and chronic situations in your family, do you rise above it and find your own sense of peace? How is that done? Well, for tonight's Wellness Wednesday conversation, we help you figure it all out when your family isn't much help at all. Joining me tonight are Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta, licensed clinical psychologist and Howard University associate professor in the Department of Counseling Psychology, and clinical psychologist Dr. Aldewan Tart. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tart, Dr. Sharifa, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Tart?
Well, yeah, I appreciate it.
All right.
And much love to the Bison. My daughter was on a tour there, so hopefully I can get her in the psychology department in about a year. So shout out to the Bison family.
He's already put the plug in.
Yeah, early.
I understand that. And obviously, at least from that perspective, between you and your daughter, there is no toxicity. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of families experience that. And so I'll ask you, Dr. Tart, how can you be well when there is a toxic relationship in your family that is impacting you?
Well, the first thing is we have to set a boundary. You know, if this was a stranger, it'd be easy to set a boundary for someone that you deem abusive or too harsh or just negative towards your mental health. But we have this thing in families where we say, hey, well, that's mom, that's dad, that's your sister, that's your brother. And we don't set the boundaries and we allow them to hurt us, which actually ends up hurting them because we're enabling the very behavior. So sometimes there's a need for something called necessary conflict, all right? And what we have in the situation that you're all discussing with a toxic family member is necessary conflict. Well, if you're going to behave in this way, or you're going to speak in this way, or if I deem your behavior to be abusive, then I have to be in conflict with you for my own mental health and set a boundary to where either I speak truth to you know, I call it out, or I distance myself from you.
But, you know, Dr. Sharifa, sometimes toxicity in a family is almost a tradition. It happens from generation to generation. There are children that grow up in these situations. They don't know any different. And as far as boundaries, that's adult language. Mm-hmm. But what about for some of the youngest members of the family? How do they even absorb this kind of toxicity and eventually develop a sense of peace if they don't know peace?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, because a lot of times we see poor communication skills. We see children being disenfranchised and often silent, right? Children usually will speak to power actually at a very young age and say, stop, don't do that, or you hurt my feelings, no, and they're silenced, right? And they may be verbally abused and attacked. And so then they suppress those feelings, right? And then they become teenagers and they act out, right? They may act out within the home or outside of the home. And so what generally has to happen is they have to recognize that why they are acting out is because they really are upset at their mom or at their dad or at whoever is being toxic towards them. And possibly seek help, find a mentor, and find a strong peer social group where they can talk about these things and learn that what's happening at home isn't the way that things are supposed to be. There's great mental health resources now on social media, right? Whole mental health TikTok, all of that, you know, they want to be able to engage in those sort of rooms and spaces to sort of recognize that, yes, what is happening at home isn't something that I like and enjoy, and also something that I don't want to continue.
But Dr. Tarr, there are all kinds of family dysfunction examples. Some of them are borderline violent. Some of them are actually violent. Some of them are certainly emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. Some are even passive aggressive. Can you give me an example of some of the more common ones, and what might be a point where someone in a family can say to themselves, enough is enough?
Well, I think anytime there's abuse, anytime there you don't feel safe in a relationship emotionally, and I think we have to push back against normalcy. Right? This is toxic family, right? And this is how it goes from generation to generation, because we normalize it when we really absolutely should be reporting it. We should absolutely be pointing the interventions towards the abuser, not to the children who are acting out. And that's why it's important that we expand social services and allow counselors, and we understand what's happening in this world, and supporting policy to where a kid comes to school and they open up about, hey, here's the conversation that is had with my mom or dad, and then there's an intervention that's aimed at the parents. But if you're talking about an example, it could be passive aggressiveness. Could be not talking to your daughter, not talking to your son for 3 or 4 days, and so you starve them of attention because they don't agree with you. Or in the case that, you know, is in the media with, you know, the Simmons family, one of the examples that was, you know, that was talked about was sending harsh and negative text and language and talking in a way which is unhealthy. Just quick note, for all fathers out there, our daughters are especially attuned to the tone and how we speak. We can even say something that is positive, but if the tone is loud, the tone is off, we can think that we're doing something that's in their best interest, when in reality, all we're doing is destroying their self-esteem and sense of safety. And who protects them if their protector is the one who's abusive, harsh, and uses language that's not healthy for their self-esteem?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is a Wellness Wednesday conversation, and we're talking about toxic family drama. How do you rise above it and find your own sense of peace? If you have a comment, if you have a question about this issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, you know, Dr. Sharifa, Dr. Tarr said we can, you know, we have these examples of how these things can happen. And I think probably the most recent high-profile example is this dust-up between, you know, Russell Simmons and his daughter, Aoki Lee Simmons, him yelling at her on video, and then she posting that video on social media. His ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons, saying, you know, just leave me alone, leave us alone. I'm fascinated by that, because you mentioned earlier about it, looking for help, and talking about some of the social media resources. But a lot of times, such as in the Simmons case, historically, we kept our family foolishness to ourselves. But now it's you know, in the realm of social media. Why is that? Is that a cry for help, or is that a cry for attention?
I think it's both. And I think it is also very evident that there is boundary problems, right? Like, Mm-hmm. When you are like, I need to publicize and publicly display what is going on in our house in an effort to regain some sense of control and authority, right, that you may feel like your father is taking advantage of, that just tells me that there is a system of boundary infringement in that household. So Russell oversteps boundaries. Everybody is not holding a boundary, because all you have to say is, Dad, I don't like how you're talking to me. I'm going to end this conversation. And that's it.
But you can't hang up on me. Well, I'm your father.
He texted you.
And I think that's part of it. When you have children, whether they are minor children or adult children, who are giving the pushback, and there's toxicity coming from the other side of that, I use air quotes, conversation. How do you find, other than just shutting it down?
But disengagement is the most powerful response. Mm. We think engagement and verbally fighting back and making your point heard. No, you just arguing. Y'all just yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. Disengagement, quite frequently in family chaos and family toxicity, is one of the most powerful responses that you can have to say, And enforce that boundary. That people will say, oh, I have a boundary. I'm not talking to you when you yell and scream, but you still talking. I'm not talking to you when you yell and scream. You still talking. Hold the boundary. You have to enforce it. Dad, I don't like how you're talking to me right now. I'm disengaging from this conversation. That chat is on mute.
Mm-hmm. I agree fully, because that's how you set boundaries with workplace bullies. That's how you set boundaries with bullies in general. And when the proverbial bully is in the family, that's where you set a boundary and you say, hey, listen, you know, I can't stop you from talking, but I can stop myself from listening to this type of language. If you want to reengage me, you're going to have to talk to me in a civil way. You're going to have to talk to me without yelling and screaming or demeaning me. And that's a strong boundary, because the person can't make you talk to them. So what you do, and yes, it's not necessarily conflict. They're going to get upset. They're going to push buttons. It's probably going to get a little bit worse. But then they realize, hold up, this person is serious. If I want a relationship with my daughter, with my wife, with my ex-wife, whatever, then the only way it can happen is if it's civil. Yeah. When you set that boundary, that's how you reestablish power. Otherwise, you don't need to have the relationship just for the name of family. Family can be toxic. Family is toxic in this case. So until you go get help and learn how to deal with your trauma, or whatever is causing you to react and overstep boundaries, then we won't have a relationship.
Before I go to the phone lines, Dr. Tart, do you have a quick resource that you can share with our listeners?
Yes, there's a book called Boundaries. It is a legendary book in psychology. So check out the book Boundaries by Dr. Clow and Dr. Townsend. They have one specifically called Boundaries for Families.
Okay. And Dr. Sharifa?
I'm recommending Drama Free. It's by a new licensed therapist, Nidra Taweeb, Taweebb. You can find her on Instagram. And she has a new book specifically called Drama Free, How to Establish and Maintain Healthy Family Relationships, or not, but sort of navigate yourself through maybe high toxic family relationships. And so the book is called Drama Free.
Let me go to the phone lines.
Yeah, let's go with the sister's recommendation.
But we can do boundaries and drama free. Yeah, I like it all. Jay, calling from Maryland. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I had an issue with my daughter where we weren't talking for about 20, 22 days. And I'm listening to your show. He said one day. And I wanted her to know that as long as I'm your dad, you're going to need me. And so because she's stubborn and strong-willed, inherited genes, and because she's very smart, you know, my children, they have, three of them, they have the best relationship together, but they all have their own individual. And I find myself comparing them, and I hate that I do that, because they all... like my son, he gets so elevated, and you know, it's hard to reel him back in. And I find myself, when I have to disconnect from him, saying, call your mother, because at that point I'm just like, oh man, I can't really get control of this discussion, because you know, he'll be like, listen, 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 then he'll start calling me bruh, and I'm like, You're not. I'm not your brother. It's crazy because, you know.
I have a feeling that the answer to this situation is going to be multi-layered and complex, and I need to take a break. And we also have to say goodbye to Dr. Tart. But Dr. Sharifa has plenty of advice for you, Jay, so I need you to stay on the line. Also, Elizabeth calling from Maryland. We are going to talk to you as well, so please do not hang up. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It is a Wellness Wednesday conversation. How do you rise above toxicity in your family and find your own sense of peace? I'm Harold Fisher. John Munns is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back with this conversation on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Wellness Wednesday conversation. We're asking, how do you find your own peace when your family is toxic and disruptive? We continue with Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta, licensed clinical psychologist and Howard University associate professor in the Department of Counseling Psychology. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Jay. Jay, I just want to be clear before I turn you over to Dr. Sharifa. You said your daughter that you were having these difficulties with, did you say she was 7?
No, she's 19. But
she's 19. Okay, I don't know where I got seven from.
We stopped talking for about 22 days.
Okay. The doctor is in, Dr. Sharifa.
You know, it was interesting because you started off with saying, I want my daughter to understand that she will always need me. And I am curious about maybe shifting that to being, I want my daughter to want for me to be of a help to her, right? Because that's a little different than her needing you, but her actually wanting you to be someone that she sees as a helper and as a support. And how do you think that would influence how you may talk to her or hear her when she is frustrated?
Jay?
Great. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
She gets quiet when she's frustrated. The irony to this discussion is I want them to have a better relationship with their partner or spouse than I had with mine. We're divorced, but at the same time, when it gets to that level, like with my older son, I have to say, go call your mother. Because at that point, we're almost at no return because of certain things. Like, I have certain things that I learned and inherited from my parents. You know, and I have been trying to be better than what I received from them so that my children would be good functioning adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, you know, it sounds like there might just be some communication, right? Like everybody is trying to learn how to communicate and respect each other as adults, right? Like even though they're still children, they want to see themselves as adults. So I would suggest, put your listening hat on, right? Like, I want to hear you. I want to listen to understand you. And you want to ask more questions, right? I hear you're saying you're upset with me. And you're upset because, do I have that right? And see if you have heard and are able to summarize what it is that they may be upset about. And then ask another question. So what do you think would be a solution to the problem or situation that they have brought to you? Let them come up with a possible solution as opposed to you giving it to them. So what do you think would be helpful for you in this situation?
Okay.
And in that way, it's less confrontational. It's less them feeling like you're telling them what to do. You are just listening.
That's usually what it is, but I understand what you're saying.
It might be what it is. They might come up with the solution that you had in your mind, but they came up with it themselves. And so they're going to take ownership and at the same time not have resentment towards you around, you know, dad always think he right, dad think he know everything. You know, they're going to be like, this was my solution, dad, thanks for listening and having me come up with that.
Yeah.
Jay,
I'm going to have to let you go because I have other callers on.
But leave me on the line, but let me hear through the radio, just take another caller, but don't hang up on me.
I'll let you listen for a little while, but I really do have to clear the line. However, I would suggest if you download the Quiet Storm app, you can hear this program live in its entirety Monday through Friday. Not to mention,
great. That's
yeah.
Great.
So
thanks,
just
really that,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. But I'll leave you up for just a little bit because you know one of the things, Dr. Sharifa, is that advice is sage advice. I remember when my daughter was probably about 13 or 14. Maybe she was about 13, I guess. And I remember she was really upset, not with me, but just upset. And it was one of the most productive conversations where I sat down and she was sitting on the floor in my home office. And I just let her talk. I did not react. I did ask a few questions, but she talked for 45 minutes about what was on her mind, just about, you know, life and where she was in her, you know, 13 and a half year old life and some of the things that were severely bothering her. And one of the things, as you were suggesting to Jay, often we come from a history of, because I said so, you know, call your mama or don't call your mama. But, you know, but I think that in adults, you know, parents, we have a tendency not to listen because we do believe, and sometimes we're right, and sometimes we're not, but more often we're right. We've been there, done that, and don't want you to go through our kind of pain, and we try to protect our children when the reality is that they are intelligent, thoughtful, forgetful, and imperfect as well.
Yes.
So, Jay, I'm going to have to let you go, but good luck to you and hang in there. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Elizabeth. Calling from Maryland. Elizabeth, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? And turn down your radio, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
So I was just calling because one of the things that I had heard was, you know, how did you deal with toxic family members? So in my case, I decided to become estranged, and it wasn't, you know, a quick reaction thing. It was something that I was thinking over many, many years, but it just ended up being that I decided in my mid-20s to go no contact with my parents. And it was kind of like similar to what you were saying in earlier examples of where, you know, the parents would try and starve the child for attention. When I moved out, I had gotten my first job, and I decided, you know what, I want to live on my own for a bit. Just try to see what it's like. I have an older brother, but he never moved out. And when I had told them, they kind of freaked out. And so, or rather, I had hinted to them ahead of time before I got my lease. So I didn't actually tell them that I was moving out until the day of. I even talked to my, you know, a pastor, and they were like, yeah, don't tell your parents until the day of, because they also had a sense that they would freak out. And my mom didn't talk to me for 3 months. She didn't talk to me for 3 months. And my parents, they're from the Caribbean, and kind of their perspective is, we don't have to respect you. You have to respect us because you're the child and we're the parent. And so when my mom had said that to me, like she explicitly said that to me, that's kind of when I realized, you know, I've been trying over the years, trying to tell them like, hey, some of the things you're saying to me is hurtful. You're being rude. You know, there's ways you can tell me the truth without being cruel, but you just say whatever is in your mind and then try to turn around and call me sensitive. So when I realized there's really no coming to the table, no common ground, because if that's their thought process, then there is no room for me to try and work things out. So I went no contact, and my mom tried to use other family friends, even some of her coworkers, to try and contact me to like get messages to me. And I was like, no, don't, you can still talk to her, but don't deliver any messages for me. And I have no messages for you to give to her. But
let me ask you, Elizabeth, how long ago was this?
About 8 years ago.
And you've not spoken to your parents since then? Or has this been resolved?
No, I have not spoken to them since then.
So, Dr. Sharifa, here's my question in reference to Elizabeth's situation and a lot of other situations. What is the difference between setting boundaries and punishing those who you believe have wronged you?
Well, the boundary is for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not a punishment to the other person. Now, they may feel punished. They may feel saddened, right? But it's for yourself. I think boundaries should be unilateral, right? Mm-hmm. So it should be anybody, right? If anybody cusses at you, you have a rule or a response and a way you engage with that. So it should be a uniform, universal boundary, right? So it's not that it's your mom and so you're punishing her, or your dad, so you're punishing him. It is because you have established certain rules of engagement for yourself, and then you enforce them and uphold them.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe, Elizabeth, that you will ever talk to your parents again, or do you feel, or do you want to, or do you feel that this situation is irreparable?
I have no intentions, and to the doctor's point, this is not a form of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It is multiple years of trying to establish boundaries and them openly disregarding it and saying that there's no need for me to respect your boundaries. So this is my way of trying to keep my peace and trying to, you know, reduce the likelihood of me being depressed from, you know, having to deal with a family who, you know, you're trying to be with them and they're supposed to be kind of like your safe haven, and your safe haven at home isn't safe. So,
yeah.
You know, this is my way of safeguarding myself from, you know, a constant barrage of negativity and essentially rudeness and disrespect.
Okay.
So one thing I will add, and not directly to you, Elizabeth, but to anyone who may feel like they are reaching that point, you know, I frequently will ask clients a couple of questions. One, have you established a relationship that if your parents died today, you would be okay with that? Right. So when we are thinking about rules of engagement with our parents or our family member, is that a relationship that if something tragic happened, you would not have a regret? You would not be like, they're on their deathbed and I regret X, Y, and Z. If the answer to yes, I think I would be fine, then okay. If the answer is no, I would be sad, then you want to think about dosage. Right?
What is dosage?
Dosage is the frequency with which you engage with an individual, right? So being as your family seems to have been very close, entangled, possibly enmeshed, it's like everybody need to see everybody, talk every day, all day, all day, we together, we live in the same place, don't leave. That's a lot of dosage. That's a high frequency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, I can see my family once a year. I do Christmas with them. I do whatever major holiday. I make sure that I see them, that they see possibly my children or my spouse, that they know these people, and I can manage once a year. I can't stay at the family home, right? I have to get a hotel. People think about what is the actual dosage that they can possibly play with where they still feel safe. They're not as triggered, but they also feel like they are not only establishing their rules when we think about boundaries, but also relating to our values. And so I also challenge clients, right? That third part is, what are my values? What do I value? Because you shouldn't ever establish a boundary that is counter to your values. So I am a very family-oriented person. I love my family, but there are some family members that I can only talk to once a week.
Are you suggesting, or is it too much to ask for situations like Elizabeth or and others to have a Suge Avery, God is trying to tell you something moment, like in The Color Purple at the end of the movie? Or that's not dosage. I mean, that's a fire hose.
Yeah, you know, but you done brought up Color Purple, child.
I got to bring up, now, you know, come on.
Now, but the thing,
everybody knows.
The thing with Suge and specifically her father is also this misplaced need. She still was seeking her father's approval, mm-hmm. and he was denying it for her. So she had to cut him off. Now, what we would be doing in individual therapy is working on why you still have that need, because that's a childhood need. You as an adult don't need your parents' approval anymore. You're a grown woman, Suge. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be running around like, yes, I'm married now. It don't matter. You see what I'm saying? She could live her life fully and engage with her father however she wanted to if she had fixed that unmet childhood need of needing daddy's approval. And a lot of times people disengage with their families because they are still saddened and hurt and re-traumatized because those childhood wounds have not been healed. And they're continuing to ask these things in an adult way that you shouldn't even be asking that of these parents anymore.
And everybody's going to go back and watch Color Purple again this weekend. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your situation with us. And I wish you only the best of peace as you move through this journey. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mike from Baltimore, I'm going to talk to you in a bit, but I've got to get this question in because Elizabeth just brought up so much. What is between boundaries and peace? Is setting the boundary going to guarantee immediate peace, or setting the boundary is the first step and then you've got to work on the peace?
Yes, you have to work on the peace. And I was going to say self-control, because just because you establish the boundary, right, you're going to be triggered, right? If you think about a boundary as a fence, people throw stuff over in your yard all the time. You know, they run up on your fence, they lean on your fence. I got a fence, and I'd be like, if these people don't get off my fence, like, so you're still going to be triggered. So you have to have self-control. You still have to be like, oh, this is something that triggers me. What's going to be my response? How am I going to respond to it? And you shouldn't have extreme, unhealthy, toxic responses because people are triggering you. And that is the part to get to peace, that you can be triggered and be like, oh, I don't like people standing on my fence, and be like, oh, that's okay, they gonna move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like when people cuss at me. Ooh, I'm just gonna mute that conversation. I don't have to go cuss back at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me go to Mike. Mike calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks. You know, this is an interesting discussion because these family toxic relationships, they're serious. And my concern is that I think we should always look at who's holding the household together, who's paying the bills, who's keeping the lights on, who's feeding everybody in the household. That's the person that I think you got to be very cautious with how you set boundaries. But some of these big kids in the house cussing out their parents, telling their parents, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to do that, being very disrespectful. You want some boundaries? Open that door. There's plenty of boundaries outside. Get out.
Hmm.
I've seen it in many fams.
And Mike, let me say this: while the parent child dynamic is part of this, parents and minor children are not the only measure or family dynamic of toxicity, because sometimes you have adult parents and adult children who are not in the house. You know, you can still have a toxic situation in your family, and it may not even be with your children or your parents. It could be with your brother. And so I think that while the situation or the scenario that you bring up is one scenario, not all examples of toxicity lend themselves to a power dynamic.
Yeah, and I just want to be very, you know, children will never have as much power as their parent, and shouldn't seek to have as much power as their parent. But everybody should have an equal amount of respect where they are treated well. And so if you have mouthy children, parents have to say, did I model that? Did I model not allowing people to be heard? Did I model a way to have conversations or with disagreements that don't end with kicking people out? I mean, because that is extremely unsafe for everyone. I don't want my kids out in the street. You know, I want them to be at home, and I want them to feel safe and secure. And I want them to know that our house, even though I don't pay all the bills, that our house is a place for them to return to, even if they're going through something and they're struggling. So how they talk to me, I have to talk to them in a way that I want to be talked to.
Yeah. And I think from my, my PhD that I hold on this program is that you living in a family by threats, Mike, I think is the worst thing that can happen. No matter which direction the threats are going in the power dynamic, I pay the bills, I feed you. You don't like it, get the hell out.
Yeah,
you know, I. If ever there was an opportunity to sabotage an opportunity for families to stay together, I respectfully say that is it.
And I just want to add one quick thing, Mike, because I know sometimes when we pull that, I pay the bills, I do this, it's because our feelings are hurt.
And we get frustrated.
And we're frustrated.
Because our kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
I get it.
So, but try vulnerability. You know, when my son swell up, his 19, almost 20-year-old self, I'm like, you know, I love you. And I want you to understand I have sacrificed a lot, and it hurts my feelings that I feel like you aren't respecting my opinion at this time. And then that's it. I let him know that I love him and that how he is acting or engaging with me hurts my feelings. And because we as a family can talk about feelings, he goes away, he'll sit down, and he'll be like, Mom, I'm sorry. And he'll tell me what might be going on with him that has nothing to do with me as to why he was being disrespectful in the first place. So just try a little vulnerability instead of pulling the financial power or even physical power card out sometimes.
Mike, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. I just got a text from a friend of mine, and I think this is profound, and I want to share this with you and get your opinion. She says, you know, have a self-assessment moment and deal with yourself before you address the toxic person. Once you heal self, your interaction with the toxic can be a teachable moment.
Yeah, because you're self-aware. Right? Because eventually you want to be like Stevie Wonder, like, oh, I didn't even know they was throwing shade. Like, you so, like, at peace and just like, oh, woo. You didn't even get that people are trying to trigger you or pull a reaction. So when we are being triggered in our family situations, we have to understand that they are poking at something that we probably still need to work on.
They may not know that they're poking.
They may know. Somebody listen. Right, well, they that, know you sensitive
the,
about
that's
that.
That's the toxic know, part. You know, they do know.
They know you. You don't like people talking about your edges. They know that. They gonna go low below the belt with you. They know that.
So when they go low, I go lower.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have to work through that. You have to work through that away from them. So I do understand going back to Elizabeth. That was Elizabeth, right?
I was about to say Elizabeth is the guest of the day.
Yeah.
Because her situation is complex, mm-hmm. but she's been through it.
Yeah, so you may have to pull away sometimes because I need to do this inner work and inner healing. I need to figure out what actually are values because I've seen so much foolishness. So I need to actually see clearly and recognize like, no, this is the way it should be. This is how people should talk. And I'm able to still engage with people who may have beliefs that I now disagree with, right? Because that's what it is. She disagrees with some of the things that her parents believe in now. But there's a way to still talk to people who have differing beliefs than you. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you have to sit in a house, right? But I talk to people that have different beliefs to me all the time.
Well, I also would say in Elizabeth's case, and I think it was so important that she said this. No, she does. It's been 8 years and she doesn't want to talk to her parents. So it appears to me that she has found peace. And I think peace for peace looks different for different people.
No, I completely agree. And it's ever evolving. Mm. Right? Like, I know people who have broken away from families, have distanced themselves, especially in college, right? Like when college students, Howard students come, they in college. I don't talk to my parents. I don't talk to them. I don't go home. I don't want to see them. And then they get married and then they're like, are they not going to come to my wedding? Mm-hmm. Are they not going to see my grandchildren, their grandchildren? And they're trying to figure out how to reengage now. In a way, so because now their piece looks a little different. And so you do want to know that it can be ever evolving as your life continues to evolve. And that's okay, too. That's okay, too.
Something just occurred to me in the example that you just used, whether it's children or siblings or just family members. A lot of times I think people can set those boundaries, they can break away, they can establish their own sense of peace and their own place. And then when they come back together with family members and say those toxic or disruptive family members, because you still love them, but you don't want to lose contact with them. But when they come to your house, when they come to your space, and they begin to demonstrate that same disruptive behavior, that same toxicity, you can then say from a place of peace, we don't do that here.
Yeah, and no, I would never, they would never be in my house. If I know that the situation is that, no, my house is not going to be the house because I know y'all don't know how to act. And I will be like Martin, you know, so that's not going to be it. So we need to have a different place to meet. We're going to meet outside. We're going to be at a park, at a picnic. And then I can pack my kids up and get in the car and say, all right, everybody, this was great. And I'm going home because my dosage has been exceeded.
But to that point, and I don't always mean a physical house, but I mean, in connecting within that house of peace, you still may find that you have to interact with them and maybe by osmosis, maybe by example, the chaos and foolishness that you left, that they did not see for themselves, becomes an example of how things might be better because, oh, wow, so you're not yelling and screaming and cursing like we were yelling and screaming and cursing and throwing grandma's china and everything else.
Can we have some of that drug that you took while you were away? And maybe that's a conversation?
Yes. Yes. Yes, because modeling, right, showing people that you have healed is the best way, right? We have moved beyond the show and tell. We're in the show and do, right? So you doing it, people see it, then they're going to come to you and be like, wow, I noticed that you mom and daddy was yelling and I saw you just get up and leave. Like, how'd you get there? The people that want that will come after you and seek that and ask you questions, and you can talk to them and you can be like, this is what I did and this is how I've done it.
Well, I hope that we have been able to help somebody in this conversation, Elizabeth, certainly Mike, and some of the others who have called in and reached out. Shout out to my friend Sharon for texting me and for listening and blowing up my phone. I mean, she's one of our biggest listeners, and thank you so much. Also, I want to thank Dr. Aldewon Tart for joining us earlier, and of course, Dr. Sharifa Aoukda. Always good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, June 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.